tell the people what you're here for.
Maybe bring everything out closer to the people.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Trouble, trouble, trouble.
The first basic
will fight
for
baby.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
Uncomfortable. The black people are subjects of ostracism. It is sad that our humanity has shown us no more love, no greater sympathy than we are experiencing. Wheresoever you go throughout the world, the black man is discarded, is ostracized, is relegated to the lowest in things, social, political, and economical. This therefore suggests a problem and one that must be solved. We in this section of the world are not entirely free from this unkind, unsympathetic, and uncharitable behavior of the groups or races around us. But since man has been placed on his own responsibility, whether he be black, white, or yellow, he must act on his own account. We will not unduly whine or complain, but reason among ourselves and see what can be done to remedy this state of affairs. Life is a conflict. You have to fight your way through it, whether you will it or not.
It is Marcus Garvey Day at CHRY 105.5 FM, and we are commemorating the life of publisher, journalist, entrepreneur, Pan-Africanist, and the massively influential Marcus Garvey. We will be speaking to a series of guests tonight on his life and influence. We begin with Chris Wasson. Wasson is a member of the Black Action Defense Committee in Toronto, and who takes many of his bearings from Garvey. Following him, we speak with Honor Ford Smith, playwright, poet, actress, and currently an assistant professor in the Faculty of Environmental Studies at York University. Smith will talk more about his life and other controversies. I'm Justin, I'm here with Kabir, and you're listening to CHRY 105.5 FM.
Get him on, get him on!
Black people arise and be wise. Never let this happen again, enough. That's the point.
Nobody have no stink, and I should be in your ears again. Nobody have no stink, and I should be in your ears again. Oh, what a mighty black prophet from St. Anne's Bay. He's the founder and the leader of the UNIA. He's from town go to country, England, France and Germany. They charge him for fraud in the USA, because he told black people to sail away. No history, this is I and I black story. I want you to talk to black Marcus.
Yeah,
walk and tell them. Talk up, Marcus. Look how long you dey walk and I talk. Talk black Marcus.
Yeah, I
walk and tell them.
Yeah,
talk black Marcus. Look how long you dey walk and I talk. All the stones you throw at him, the lies you told on him. No, you never got Marcus weary. Government punished his name. Some Christians did the same. Still I love him sincerely. I want you to talk to black Marcus.
Yeah,
walk and tell them. Talk up Marcus. Look how long you dey walk and I talk. Talk black Marcus.
Yeah,
walk and tell them. Look how long you dey walk and I talk. From sentence, 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 hey Marcus Garvey. Sentence, 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 to fulfill the prophecy. Sentence, 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 hey Marcus Garvey. No history, this is I and I black story. I want you to talk. Marcus,
yeah,
walk and tell them. Talk up Marcus, look how long you dey walk and I talk. Talk up Marcus,
yeah,
walk and tell them. Talk black Marcus, look how long you dey walk and I talk. Nobody block stick. and I should be in your ears again. No bad a block stick, and I should be in your ears again.
Don't do that, my friend.
No bad a block stick, and I should be in your ears again. No bad a block stick, and I should be in your ears.
You're listening to Radio Basic CHRY 105.5 FM. This is Kabir. As Justin was saying, today we commemorate Marcus Garvey Day, August 15th, 2009, as part of CHRY's 11 continuous hours of honoring and celebrating the life accomplishments, the impact of this great figure in African liberation history. Marcus Garvey was an incredible leader in the history of the African liberation movement, who built an organization with a membership of millions of black people around the world. A figure who many identify as, more than anyone, having contributed to advancing the existence of African people as a dispersed nation to be liberated from imperialism and be served by its own all-African government in Africa. 122 years ago today, Marcus Garvey was born in St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica, to a farmer and Mason. This was a working class guy from, you know, an impoverished background. So his political views, his ideology directly came from personal experience. Something that was very different from some other black leaders at the time, people like W.B.E. Du Bois, you know, the NAACP,
yeah,
who were many of them members of the black petty bourgeoisie, the very small petty black petty bourgeoisie at the time. Marcus right. Garvey came from the working class, and that's where, you know, his understanding and his ideology came from. And as Justin mentioned, we're going to be talking with Honor Ford Smith, playwright, scholar, actress, and poet who moved to Toronto in 1991 and who continues to write, to work in theater, and to teach in the city today. She's written a number of papers and documents on Marcus Garvey, including many particularly relating to women's role in the Garveyite movement. Of course, the organization Marcus Garvey founded, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the UNIA, and that was founded in August 1914 in Jamaica, and officially, you know, began to grow when Marcus Garvey relocated to Harlem in 1916. We're also going to be talking to two members of, you know, what could be readily described as probably the most active, you know, grassroots Garveyite movement in Canada today, which is the Black Action Defense Committee. We're going to be looking at how, you know, the ideology that was the Pan-Africanist ideology elaborated by Marcus Garvey throughout his life, how that continues to be applied today, how that is something that is relevant. You know, Marcus Garvey was criticized. We had people like W.B.E. Du Bois.
Yeah.
People like even Angela Davis, if I'm not mistaken, saying that his ideology was somehow irrelevant, not applicable to current situations. But I think hopefully we can see through the Black Action Defense Committee's work how, you know, the elements of his ideology continue to manifest themselves in community organizing today.
Mm-hmm, definitely, yeah. And he was, you know, criticized from the very left in Du Bois to, you know, the very right in J. Edgar Hoover. And, you know, made the target, of course, like most black leaders, the target of counterintelligence
operations.
Programs, right? So
I think it's interesting, like, yeah, like exactly like you said, he was one of the first Pan-Africanists, mm-hmm. And he was also one of the first examples of this COINTELPRO-like operation.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, the American government, these white supremacist governments coming together to exterminate this black power movement, kind of mm-hmm. their first practice run. And after that, you had Malcolm X,
yeah. You
had Martin Luther King, you had the Black Panthers,
SNCC, and movements like that. And I guess maybe apart from slave rebellions and like Nat Turner, like Marcus Garvey was the first to mobilize, you know, racialized people in the United States, and doing it in, you know, 1910s, 1920s, and so early, right? It's 100 years ago. It's unbelievable to think so.
It's incredible to think even the conditions. I mean, we know the conditions today, how horrible they are, repressive. Yeah. You know, conditions when in the Panther years, how horrible and repressive they are. But to imagine, you know, exactly like you said, and this time for him to say things like, you know, we should lynch two white people for every black person that's lynched. Like, for him to even have the courage to make that kind of statement at that time, you know, that the huge impact that had for African people in the United States and Canada.
Yeah, I was listening to clips just before the show, and you know, the interviewer is just like, "Well, like Mr. Garvey, you know, you say some pretty controversial things, like especially at this time." He's like, "You could be lynched for these things." He's like, "Bring it on! I got millions of brothers behind me that are ready to go to war." You know, so, and he captivated people. So we're gonna talk about that, but first, obviously, we got to go to commercials because they keep us on the air. So CHRY 105.5 Radio Basics.
You're listening to Radio Basics, CHRY 105.5 FM, here today, Marcus Garvey Day, August 15th. 122 years ago today was the birth date of this incredible Pan-Africanist leader, someone who made huge advances in terms of the struggle for African liberation and the African liberation movement, and a figure who, you know, many identify made perhaps one of the greatest contributions to advancing the struggle for the liberation and unification of Africa and African and diasporic African people. On the line right now, we have Dudley Laws, who is the leader of the Black Action Defense Committee, which many recognize as one of the most influential on-the-ground grassroots and active Garveyite movements in Canada today. Dudley Laws being actually someone who, Dudley, you were actually the leader of the UNIA chapter in Toronto.
Yes, years ago when I came to Canada in 1965, I became a member of the organization and eventually became its president around 1972.
And what were the activities of the UNIA chapter at the time?
The activities were organizing around the liberation movement in South Africa, Guinea-Bissau. We also had local movement of helping new immigrants to Canada, like domestics, and help people in the applications to remain in Canada. And we had an education project that worked out of the organization called the Black Education Project. And there were a lot of volunteers around that time. People were unpaid, but they were very, very effective in dealing with the problems in the community. That is where we started to oppose police brutality when we had the first killing of Buddy Evans at the Flying Disco, then Albert Johnson. And
this was in the Vaughan and Oakwood area of Toronto?
No, that we were on College Street at the time.
Okay.
That's where the UNIA building was.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was very progressive years, so people were getting involved in different types of movements. And people were having study groups on Garveyism. People were talking about what was happening in Africa and the Caribbean, the transformation from colonialism into independence of all these countries.
And, you know, we were just talking about before, you know, in the introduction, how, you know, many of these petty bourgeois figures at the time, people like W.E.B. Du Bois, and even people like, Angela Davis have criticized love to criticize Marcus Garvey, say that his philosophy, of Pan-Africanism and nationalism, revolutionary nationalism, is somehow not relevant to today's society in terms of community organizing. But can you talk a little bit about, for example, the Black Action Defense Committee and how this is an organization that is truly grassroots, organizing in the community and is using this ideology, the Garveyite ideology?
Yes, you see, what Garvey was saying, that first of all, we must begin from within the community, organize community, build a foundation. And this is what the Black Action, the concept of the Black Action Defense Committee is to work with other organizations, to work with people of all cultures. We call it Black Action, but we have never refused from working with other groups of people. And Garvey is saying, look, you begin from within your own community to organize the cultural values and build economic base, and education opportunity for your community so that the children can know their history.
Yeah.
And this is what Batsy is trying to do and has done. We have defended people in this community from different parts of the world. But we are seeing it is important to stop the victimization of African youth, who are being penalized by police and the system. Young people who are being killed on the streets every day. Yeah. Unemployed, unskilled young people.
Yeah.
We are saying that all of us in this community, in this country, should try and work together so that we can eliminate the destruction of our youth. That is the most important task that we have at this time in this city and in this country.
And of course, we just came out of having a large basketball tournament around police brutality in commemoration, particularly just this past May, a young Jamaican boy brutally beaten, attacked by the police in Pelham Park area. You were with me. You and me went down to meet the family.
Oh, yes, I remember that very vividly. And we had a meeting at Batsy headquarters around the issue. Yeah. But you see, collectively we can deal with the police. We have done that in the past. But at this time, we have young black men who for a lot of reasons who have internalized the racism.
Yeah.
And are beating and killing each other.
Yeah.
You know, and it is a very, very serious issue. And that is why Badsy is organizing the anti-violence rally on the 29th of August at Queen's Park.
So
we're going to have various speakers, you know, coming out, including yourself, to speak about the issue of youth violence.
So once again, give us the details of that rally, the time, the date, the place.
Yeah, it's the 29th of August at Queen's Park, at the front building in front of Queen's Park, facing University Avenue. And it starts at 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. We have various artists from the Toronto area, and we have two artists coming from Jamaica that will be performing. We also have various speakers from communities and trade unions that will be addressing the crowd.
Definitely.
So we're asking people to come out to show their concerns about what is really happening. Because we can't have young people. I mean, even in the last 3 days, we have what, 4 shootings?
Yeah. We had Justin Rexdale, the father, right? The young father of I believe it was a few children on riding his bike, drive-by shooting, was killed.
That's right.
And you know, I think as you were pointing out, unfortunately, we do have to wrap up. We're going to go. Dudley, do you know of someone by the name of Honor Ford Smith?
Oh yes, I know Honor. You know, she was the founder of Sistream, a theater group in Jamaica that was there in the 70s. I know her very
yes.
well.
She's gonna give us also a statement on Marcus Garvey.
Okay.
But we'll maybe we'll have you on before, because this is not this Saturday coming up, it's the Saturday after that.
That is true.
So we'll maybe have you guys on to re-advertise for this, and definitely everybody should try to make it out for that at Queen's Park.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on today.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Dudley Laws. He, the former leader, the president of the UNIA chapter here in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, he was saying that was back in the 70s.
Yeah, long time, hey? 30 years on the ground.
And also the president, current president of the Black Action Defense Committee, well-known Garveyite organization today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they represented at our basketball tournament yesterday, so it's good to have them out. So, like Kabir said, we're having Honor Ford Smith, a well-known... you know, Jamaican actress, poet, and current teacher at York University, to come back and continue on with the legacy of Marcus Garvey on CHRY 105.5 Radio Basics.
Mother Nature represents all that is...
President will stop lying, black babies will stop crying, and young brothers will stop dying. I wish the police will stop killing, politicians stop stealing, and acting like they're not dealing, when they know they got bricks in the street, at the country club fixing to eat. I can see them now, I wish we get this shit figured out, to stop going the trigger route, and acting all niggered out, on the block with the non-cop. I wish we try and stop. Stop wishing for the pine box. I wish she wasn't so obsessed with death. Tell me, is it cause we blessed with less? I don't know, really. I wish the world was safer. I'm scared to travel abroad. That's why I travel with the Lord. I wish a cab would stop for me in the rain. I know you wanna call me insane. I'm a dreamer. I was 7 years old. If there's life after death, is heaven this cold? I wish I could wipe the tears of all the crying mothers. Wish New York niggas didn't start flying colors. I wish my people stop avoiding the truth. BT stop poisoning youth. We need changes for teenagers as they go through phases. More than just the concrete jungle, the world of green acres.
niggas. I wish I'd been more diligent. Smart cats rhyme militant, the rest rhyme ignorant. I wish the world didn't give us funny looks. Think we all just dummies and crooks. Athletes and entertainers singing hooks. We need more black babies that's in the books. Read on. I wish God could take away the pain. I know you want to call me insane. I'm a dreamer.
CHRY 105.5 Radio Basics. We're back. Right now we're continuing on with the CHRY's coverage of Marcus Garvey and his life and legacy. And we have Honor Ford Smith. Honor is a playwright, actress, and poet, and currently an assistant professor in the Faculty of Environmental Studies at York University. Honor, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, thanks a lot for coming on.
You're welcome, it's a pleasure.
Okay, so let's get into it. So who was Marcus Garvey? And could you maybe talk about his early days and political activities?
Well, Marcus Garvey is national hero of Jamaica. He was born at the end of the 19th century to a family in St. Anne's Bay, and he went on to form an organization called the UNIA, which stands for the Universal Negro Improvement Association. And that organization remarkably encompassed a huge number of countries and people, and its goal was to advance a form of Pan-Africanism and to advance African identity, and the celebration of African identity, and also to develop black businesses which would be run and owned by black people, and also to return in some sense to Africa and to establish stronger links between the diaspora and the continent.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed like his organization at one point grew to 4 million, and he had 25,000 people packed Madison Square Garden. Was he that captivating?
Well, he was an amazing orator, and he had also an amazing team behind him in terms of his wife, who was quite a remarkable organizer herself. Well, he had two wives. The first was Amy Ashwood Garvey, mm-hmm. who started the organization with him and is less well known than the second one. But she is actually co-founder of the organization, and she was a formidable Pan-Africanist herself and also a feminist. She was very careful to make sure that women were included in the movement when it started out. And then later on, he married Amy Jakes Garvey, who was really a stalwart in terms of helping to manage things at the headquarters in New York, and in terms of like getting the newspapers out. And she was the person who edited the Philosophy and Opinions of Marcus Garvey, which was very important in terms of getting his ideas across. So.
Honor, can you actually talk a little bit about, you wrote a paper about the role of women in the Garveyite movement, mm-hmm. The important role of women, and can you elaborate a little bit more about that, and maybe how it contrasted even to, let's say, the role of women in the civil rights movement at the time?
Well, in the 19th century, coming into the 20th century, there wasn't the same conflict that there is now, or that there is seen to be now, between the goals of feminism and the goals of African nationalism, where, you know, you sort of have to prioritize one or the other. There was much more, generally speaking, there was much more a sort of consensus that, you know, women's liberation had to accompany the unfinished project of emancipation, as Erna Brodba once called it. And so, starting with people like Robert Love, who was one of Garvey's forerunners, and who started the sort of early form of Pan-Africanism in Jamaica through the People's Convention. Mm-hmm. Women's rights struggle, the struggle for women's rights, was very much a part of that very much a part of the program. It was called Uplifting Women. That was the phraseology, that was the terminology that was used. It was sort of as upliftment, and the rhetoric was very much around, you know, uplifting women of the race. And so you had in Love's movement in Jamaica and other places, you had, you know, women who fought very much for the right of black women to be admitted to higher education. They fought against sexual abuse on the job, which was a big issue for women, in particular women who were domestic servants. And so Garvey, in a sense, you know, followed in that tradition. And Ashwood was critical because she was very much for the autonomy of the women's movement within the Garvey struggle itself. And she, you know, was very instrumental in making sure that there was a women's voice in the you know, big meeting of the Pan-Africanists in 1945, when Du Bois became head of that association. She was very instrumental in making sure that women's concerns and the concerns of women and children appeared on the agenda of that conference, and that there were several resolutions passed around that. But overall, also, there was a very strong movement of women within the UNIA. They were not, the official ideology of the UNIA wasn't terribly radical in terms of women, but the women themselves within the movement transformed that official ideology and worked very hard on making sure that women were in leadership roles in the movement and were organized within particular groups, such as the Black Cross Nurses, where, you know, women would be uniformed and would play an important role in organizing around local concerns. There was quite a bit of autonomy in the different cells of the Garvey movement, because within such a huge movement, there had to be quite a lot of variety. And one of my points about Garvey always is that Garvey himself espoused particular goals, which shifted over time because, you know, his work went on for a very long time, over several decades. So he espoused particular goals, but the people in the movement, the people in the local organization, the people who were active in Garveyism across the world, transformed and took up those goals differently and enacted those goals in many different ways, so that the influence of the Garvey movement is that it offered an important opening within which a lot of people could come to terms with their own ideas about how to move the struggles of black people in the diaspora, black people in the continent, and oppressed people generally everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that it helped to be a training ground. It was a kind of training ground for a lot of people who went on to do very important things.
Mm-hmm. So if Garveyism as an ideology offers openings, is it a viable political line for struggles today, facing many racialized and people oppressed by gender?
Well, like any large movement, I think there are some things that are very important and some things that there would be quite a lot of disagreement about today. Since Garvey's time, Garvey started the UNIA in 1914. We're now in 2000 and what? Nearly 2014.
Yeah.
So it's nearly 100 years have passed, and there have been some changes. There have been quite a few changes in some ways. And there have been some things that haven't changed. I mean, one of the things that I think Garvey continues to be right about is that the continent of Africa is very important, and the rebuilding of a viable economy within the continent of Africa is absolutely vital to Africans in diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're seeing a situation in which the African continent is in dire crisis.
Mm-hmm.
though I think that a lot of the ideas of Africa being central and Africa establishing itself as an economic power, this is still a very critical thing for struggles today. So that's one thing I think is very important. And then there are other important things which are, we're seeing, for example, things which may appear small, like a sort of escalation in issues related to the black body and how it looks around questions of beauty. So, for example, there's a sort of epidemic of skin bleaching that has started, and it's something that you find very widespread in the Caribbean, in Jamaica in particular, and it's linked also to dance hall and it's men and women doing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and Garvey would have had a lot to say about that. He spent a lot of time trying to get people to see themselves as beautiful and to to develop a sense of pride and to overcome the form of forms of self-hatred that had been passed on through colonization. So that's another critical thing, those kinds of struggles around identity. Those would be two things. And then the third thing would be, I think, his forward stance in terms of, creating a space for women within the movement and seeing that had a lot, that was bound to have payoff in terms of how the younger generation formed itself and how, so he didn't kind of he didn't kind of try to get the women to take a subordinate position, but he also tried to get women to use their influence to form the next generation.
Mm-hmm, right. And finally, Honor, we're running out of time, but what would, do you think Garvey would say about the current leader of the United States of America?
I don't know what he would say. There are issues with Garveyism that I haven't mentioned, that I've stared away from. There are some controversial things, too. I mean, I had said that there were things that we can rescue from it and things that we have to continue to struggle around. For example, Garvey was quite the believer in ideas of royalty. You know, he believed in sort of
feudalist to some extent.
What?
Oh no, I said like a feudalist to some extent.
To some extent, yes. I mean, he wanted to try and counter the image of the white royals with the idea of the black royals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he wasn't big on working people's struggles and things like, you know, just at a certain point in his career he was, but then he shifted to the right on those issues. And so the whole thing of Garvey and democracy is there's a tension there in some ways. And so, you know, that takes me to Obama. He wasn't all that much of an integrationist. He didn't believe that integration was the way to go. He believed in establishing an independent line of African nationalism, and that was why he is sometimes always criticized for having connection or negotiations with the Ku Klux Klan and with people who were to the far right. So, you know, he would criticize, I think, Obama for being too much of an integrationist, and would see that as not maybe the best strategy. But at the same time, I think he would also be happy that there is a black leader in America, and I think he would be probably critically supportive.
Mm-hmm. And Obama or not, it was movements like Garveyism and the civil rights movement that allowed him to be in that position to run for office, right?
Well, it was certainly the civil rights movement that allowed him to be where he is, you know. And
definitely. So, Honor, unfortunately, we have to go to commercial. We thank you for being on, and it's been enlightening, especially talking about the role of women in the movement, too.
My pleasure.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye.
That was Honor Ford Smith, you know, Jamaican actress, playwright, and poet, and current assistant professor in the Faculty of Environmental Studies at York University. So, we're going to try and get our first interview back on. Unfortunately, wasn't near the phone, I guess, when we called him, but...
we'll call him back. And by the way, we don't like Obama.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's something that... you know, I'm not sure if Garvey ever thought of it, but you had a lot of, you know, black revolutionary activists that never thought there'd be a black president, right? So it's a complex contradictory, you know, development, and it's just interesting.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Interesting to gauge what people will see from it, so.
It would be interesting to see what Garvey would think of him, for sure. I mean, hopefully he would be critical of his... continued role in dividing up the African continent. Imperialism in Africa, of course, is only intensified since his inauguration. But it would be interesting. I think he once called W.E.B. Du Bois, what do you call him, a monstrosity?
Who, Obama did?
Garvey, Marcus Garvey.
Oh yeah,
for being like half French, half Belgian, half
monstrosity. Yeah. I don't even know what to say to that. So, yeah, you know, we got to go to commercials because that keeps us on the air. So, CHRY 105.5, Radio Basics.
One God, one aim, one destiny. You're listening to CHRY with special programming for the Right Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Pan-Africanist, ancestor, and great leader. Then just remember.
You're back. CHRY 105.5 FM. Radio Basics. Am I on?
You sure are, Kabir, and we're doing extensive coverage of Marcus Garvey and his life and thought and the legacy of that. So who do we got on next, Kabir?
Well, right now we have another member, well-known member of Black Action Defense Committee. We've had Chris on, and I think a few times before, mm-hmm. Radio Basics.
And featured his music.
Member of Hood to Hood, well-known good friend to Basics Community Newsletter and Justice Rowie. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good. It's Marcus Garvey's birthday.
Yeah, great. August 15th.
Mm-hmm.
I think 122-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Chris, actually, we wanted to talk a little bit about, I mean, in terms of, as someone yourself who considers themselves a revolutionary, black mass activist, someone that's doing work, grassroots work in the community right now against such things as police brutality, as well as, you know, the horizontal violence in terms of internal violence between racialized people, that has developed directly as a result of the conditions that we're faced with. If you can talk about, you know, Garvey's legacy, you know, the aspects of Garveyism that definitely we can be inspired from and incorporate into our work as revolutionaries, but also the parts that are perhaps, you know, in contradiction with themselves and maybe pose, you know, things that, like as Honor Ford Smith, we just had her on before the commercial break. You know, the parts that maybe we do have to struggle on and definitely not, you know, not incorporate.
Yeah, Garvey was a nationalist and a Pan-African internationalist, supporting the rights of all oppressed people to freedom and self-determination. And he organized the largest black working class organization in the history of the African freedom struggle. Yeah. We're looking at 6 million Africans in Latin America, the Caribbean, North America, Africa, and throughout the world, even in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So that legacy there, you know, we can learn where in the past 40 years, there's been tremendous attacks on the black working class in North America because of neoliberal policies and the crises of the world capitalist system. Garvey didn't have a clear socialist ideology, but what we can learn again from him is in terms of oppressed peoples unifying. And the biggest problem today in the black community is unity. There's so much more disunity. You know, 20 years ago, there was a greater threat that the state would come down on black folks in the city. But today, the biggest threat comes from our friends, our neighbors, and the people that live in the same communities that we live in. And so the horizontal violence that we're experiencing today, you know, is a large part of the decline of black working class stable communities in North America, with the relocation of many of the industrial jobs and manufacturing jobs blacks would have held today, relocating to the global south. It has us in a very desperate, precarious position where the struggle for many of us is so desperate that unfortunately,
you know, in terms of commonality or their understanding came from academia.
Direct experience, yeah.
Rather than direct experience and,
right.
you know, having lived it.
And one lesson I get from my boss, my leader, Dudley Laws, you know, he teaches me that, you know, Dudley is a new Marcus Garvey in some ways. Mm-hmm. But, you know, organizing at the grassroots, you know, Marcus Garvey was very practical. He started off in Jamaica. The movement didn't work out there, so he went to Harlem. He went into the States. It took off. And he always organized from the bottom up. And he wasn't the greatest educated man, but he had so much knowledge from all the travels he had done. I'm not sure exactly where he went, but I know he was well-traveled, and he had studied a lot, and he really understood the necessity of African people seizing the continent. And today, it's sad to say that there's so much work still to go to achieve Garvey's dream, but I do believe that it will happen in the future because the contradictions on the continent are always increasing with the crisis of imperialism, and Africans are not stupid. I think there's definitely a heightened consciousness of who are the friends of Africans and who are the enemy. And although a lot of people are excited about Obama's recent visit to Ghana and his speech, I mean, clearly a lot of African people, you know, have a clear understanding. I mean, in Ghana, you know, who controls the resources of Ghana? And that was fundamentally Garvey's question, right? And Obama's saying, you know, it's up to Africans to save Africa. Well, yeah, that's true. And it's also up to the imperialists, like the country he's leading and the ruling class that he's a puppet of, to get out of Africa. And so I do feel like, you know, when we look at new leaders today that are presented by the imperialists as model leaders for the black people, we need to put them up beside historic examples like Marcus Garvey,
exactly.
who the U.S. ruling class put in jail, and we know what happened to Garvey, who was a true leader of the people.
Mm.
And, you know, I think on Marcus Garvey's birthday, those revolutionaries that are still around, there's still at least a couple, right, need to educate the broader black community about what real revolutionary leadership is, which is from the grassroots up.
Definitely. Chris, thank you so much for coming on today. That was I think that's a good end to the program, as well as a good end to the 11 hours that CHOY has had in commemoration of Marcus Garvey.
All right.
Definitely. Thank you.
Later.
Chris. That was Chris, also known as the well-known rap artist Wasan,
mm-hmm.
speaking to us,
yeah.
member of the Black Action Defense Committee, and someone, you know, I think he gave a really good, you know, encapsulated really what the meaning and what the relevance of Marcus Garvey is for today in terms of taking from him that the incredible feat of organizing people, not only, you know, in a certain area in a country, but
yeah.
but throughout the world.
Yeah, and he almost updated the whole ideology and the need to reinvigorate it and to bring it back and to, you know, spread it around the world, especially at a time when you have access to information and you can spread information like never before, right? So that's that. So, Kabir, I think that's it for our show, at least.
That's it for today.
Yeah, so we're going to go out with a track. We got it queued up. CHRY 105.5 Radio Basics.
See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in.